Around the clock, around the world, Bloomberg keeps you connected on television, online, on the radio, and on mobile.
This month in Bloomberg Markets Magazine, our cover story is called Buffett and Me. I'm Ron Henkoff, editor of Bloomberg Markets. Our June cover story is an exclusive look at Prince Awaleed bin Talal, one of the richest men in the world, and his interactions with another billionaire, Warren Buffett. Awaleed and Buffett, it turns out, have been long-distance pen pals for more than a decade, and we have some of their letters. Also in this issue, we profile Neil Barofsky, the former prosecutor who's chasing fraud, waste, and possible insider trading in the $700 billion U.S. bank bailout program. We look at Boeing, whose much-delayed 787 Dreamliner is finally ready to fly. Boeing's stock price has been soaring so high that it's making some investors uncomfortable. We also look at the estate tax trap, the way U.S. taxpayers will be hit with a surprise capital gains tax on money they inherit this year. Let's turn to our cover story, Buffett and Me, the story of Prince Awaleed bin Talal and his fascination with Warren Buffett. Joining me on the phone from his base in Rome is Bloomberg Markets senior writer Vernon Silver, who spent several days with Prince Awaleed at his rustic retreat in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Vernon, Prince Awaleed burst onto the world investment scene in the 1990s with some very smart and very prescient bets on some big-name U.S. companies. What were some of his winning investments back then?
Yeah, the 90s were really what made Prince Awaleed. I mean, he started out in the late 80s by his own account with about $1.5 billion. And by 1990, he started investing in Citicorp, which later would become Citigroup. And in 91, added to his holdings in a bailout of Citi. And this is the core of what became his multi-billion-dollar fortune, essentially about $800 million that by the end of the decade was approaching $10 billion, even after he had sold off a chunk of that money. And what was crucial to that was that he got into Citi at a time when the bank was in trouble. It was on the brink with a lot of bad real estate loans. And he was given a particularly negotiated deal just for him to get in. And he did the same a few years later with News Corp investing in preferred shares with Rupert Murdoch's media company. And also in 1997, when Apple Computer, as it was known then, was in really bad shape and its stock was slumped, he bought up 5% of that company. And then in all three cases, by the end of the 90s, he had gone from what had been just a little more than $1.5 billion maybe by at the end of the 80s, by the end of the 90s, decade later, to 20, 21 billion.
All right. So he was worth $21 billion as the new decade dawned. But during the past decade, the 2000s, the prince seems to have lost some of his investing magic. During your reporting, you turned up some missteps by the Saudi billionaire.
Yeah,
what happened? What went wrong?
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting about the way he accounts and has, through the past decade, made public his investments is that what you see is a lot of just lists of holdings. And one name that's been there from the beginning has been Apple. But what's changed behind the scenes is exactly how much Apple and when he got rid of it. And it turns out that in 2005, although he still owns some shares now, he sold the bulk of his investment. And during that decade, as Citigroup sank down to a dollar a share from 50-something, he sold the bulk of this Apple stake, which has since moved up by about sevenfold, and today would have been worth more than $6 billion. So what would have balanced out his portfolio of the losses from Citi in Apple wasn't there anymore because he had bailed on that and some of his other shares over the decade. I mean, he really went from being a fairly diversified investor in big name brand U.S. equities to just having big stakes in a couple of them.
I mean, his timing on Apple was particularly unfortunate, wasn't it? He missed the tremendous run-up in the stock powered by the iPhone and the iPod and I guess more lately the iPad itself. He missed that whole run-up.
And he was very clear about the call that he made at the time. And we've got a Bloomberg interview that he did in 2005 where he said all the good things that Steve Jobs has done with iTunes are built into to the stock. And that was just the first chapter in the huge ascent of Apple into, one of the biggest tech company successes of the past decade. And when I ask him about this, does he feel like he's been burned by that? He says that he's never burned by anything, and that the money that he took out of the stock when he sold it, that he's invested it in Saudi real estate, which he says is going to do even better than Apple.
All right. Well, I want to talk about that in a minute. But before we get to that, one thing that's very interesting about your reporting is this fascination that Prince Awaleed has with probably the world's best-known billionaire, Warren Buffett. And it turns out, as the prince revealed to you, that they've had this correspondence, this exchange of letters that's gone on over a number of years, and it was actually initiated by Warren Buffett himself. How did that come about?
Yeah, one of the areas that Prince Awaleed has been invested in since the 90s is hotels, and he bought a big chunk, about 42% of the Plaza Hotel in New York, and along with the other investors, spruced up the place, and Warren Buffett checked in and spent a dozen days with his family there and loved it and wrote a letter to the owner, in this case, Prince Awaleed, thanking him for the terrific service and the great refurbishment. And that started a back and forth. I mean, it started with Buffett writing to Prince Awaleed, and we've got, from the prince, a series of the correspondence, most recently in 2008, in which they speak nicely to each other and praise each other, and Awaleed referring to himself as the Buffett of Arabia and vice versa, and they seem to have a lot of fun at it.
Yeah, I mean, and Buffett paid the prince an extreme compliment. What did he call the prince?
I mean, he called him he's the Buffett of Arabia, and Awaleed called him, and Buffett called himself the Awaleed of Omaha.
The Awaleed of Omaha.
Yeah, so it's it's sort of this mutual admiration society, at least in print, from what we can tell.
But in fact, if you compare the performance of their two main holding companies, Kingdom Holding in the case of the prince, and Berkshire Hathaway in the case of Warren Buffett, there's really no comparison over the past decade. You said that the prince's worth has fallen from $21 billion to about $16 billion. What happened to Warren Buffett's worth during the same period?
Over that same period, Berkshire Hathaway stock is up 105%. So Buffett has doubled his money in a time when Awaleed has struggled to hold on to his wealth. And this is really where, in the course of reporting the story, where you go in with these numbers and say, so Your Highness, here's what you were worth 10 years ago. Here's where, let's pick a benchmark, Buffett was, and here's where you are now. And this opens up what turned out to be a series of conversations about him and Buffett. And the first thing I noticed when I walked into Awaleed's office is he had a book about Buffett on the side of his desk, and he very quickly came up with the correspondence and the comparisons. That this is someone that Prince Awaleed says, if you want to benchmark me to anybody, I'm flattered for you to benchmark me to Warren Buffett. So we did.
And he says that basically Buffett is a lot older than he is. Buffett is 79 and the prince is 55, and he still has time to get to where Buffett is by the time he's his age. Isn't that what he's saying?
And absolutely. I think and that's almost an exact quote, that when it comes down to it, he does have his eye on his future investing, and Buffett as a benchmark and a hero, and as who Awaleed calls the best investor in the world, he says he's got time to get to where he is, and he's looked up the numbers, and he sees when Buffett was his age, he wasn't even near where Awaleed is by now. So in that way, he's right. If he can last as an investor and do as well as Buffett, as long as Buffett has, he will someday top him. But that's to be seen.
You started to say before that the way he plans to do this is instead of investing exclusively or predominantly in Western companies, which is how he made his fortune to begin with, he's focused now on his home country of Saudi Arabia. And what's he planning to do there, including in real estate? Tell us about his plans for this huge office tower.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The first thing that stuck out when looking at where his investments have gone in the last 10 years is that there wasn't a single new Western name among the companies. But, you know, the money had to have gone somewhere. And what he did starting around 2006 and then 2007 when he brought his company public in an IPO in Saudi Arabia was to start putting this money into what will be, if it gets built, the tallest tower in the world in Jeddah, the Red Sea port in Saudi Arabia. And this would be part of an entire complex of homes and offices and shopping centers that he's gambling that there won't be sufficient growth in the U.S. or in Europe to justify investing his money there. But he sees the Middle East, Saudi Arabia in particular, with a growing population, as being the place to get the sort of returns that he wants. So he's also building tremendous housing complexes in Riyadh, in the capital of Saudi Arabia. And the ambitions that he has and the money that he has to invest now that he's not investing it directly in U.S. equities is his next big thing.
Well, thanks, Vernon. I think your first interview with the prince in the Saudi desert was 11 years ago, and you've been tracking him all this time, and I'm sure we'll be coming back to him to see how well he does, especially compared to the person he emulates the most, Warren Buffett. So thanks again, Vernon. I'm Ron Hentkopf, editor of Bloomberg Markets Magazine. I've been speaking with senior writer Vernon Silver, the author of the cover story of the June issue of Bloomberg Markets, Buffett and Me. It's an exclusive look at Prince Awaleed bin Talal, one of the world's richest men, and his interactions with another billionaire, Warren Buffett. Also in this issue, Neil Barofsky, the enforcer chasing down fraud, waste, and possible insider trading in the U.S. government's $700 billion bank bailout program. Boeing and its soaring stock price, and the surprise capital gains tax that may hit people who inherit money this year. All this and more is in the June issue of Bloomberg Markets Magazine. You can find Bloomberg Markets at Borders and Barnes & Noble bookstores and on newsstands at major airports. You can subscribe to our magazine by going to our website, bloombergmarkets.com. Thanks for listening.